Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com. On this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zenker and I discuss automating analytics so that you can actually personalize your company's content and customer experience at scale. We talk about personalization and why it's so important to your business, and we tie it all together about how you can make your data work. All that and more on Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right now. Well, hey, Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm well caffeinated on a little bit of a buzz from all the allergy medication I'm on. It is pollen season here in the Northeast, but yeah, doing well.
How about yourself? All right. Well, I am doing well, fed and watered and tanned, rested and ready, I guess is the right way to say it. So we've got such a cool set of things to talk about, some really cool stories from the past week and a really interesting connection among them that I think resonated with you and I as we were talking about this prior to the show. Mm-hmm. And I want to start with, there's these trends that eMarketer has shared all about ad agencies who are building their own analytics platforms. And, you know, there's all kinds of stats. We will link to these in the show notes. I'm not going to go through them in gory detail right at the moment. But this idea of why they're doing this. And the argument in favor of this is that, of course, you know, you want to make your data more useful, you want to make your data more actionable, et cetera. And I thought you had a really interesting and well put counter example to this of why maybe you shouldn't. So, you know, if I can kind of tee that up for you, Steve, and hear
don't,
you know,
don't
what do you
I
think?
Always, Tim.
So, well, exactly. So let's hear it. What do we got?
So, when I read this initially, I thought a lot about, it's like the data warehouse movement of the past decade, right? So to bring all your data together, to get that 50,000 foot view of the customer, to understand mm-hmm. integration across touch points, to understand integration across channels, and to give you some idea of what you should be doing. And you know, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade who sits at 50,000 feet and tries to understand the overall strategy. But, you know, the real challenge, what marketers want, what humans want, right? Forget marketers, what humans want, you know, in their day jobs, right? In their professions is, you know, what should I do next to move the ball forward? And, you know, I've read a bunch of articles and it's, you don't have to read articles to know this. You just have to talk to people and be in the business. You know, the great struggle in marketing is, you know, those sales guys, I love their measurements and I'm so jealous of them because they ring the cash register. And I, as mm-hmm. a marketer, I don't ring mm-hmm. the cash register and nobody believes my marketing qualified leads
right,
and nobody
right,
believes
that, right.
you know, yada, 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 right?
All the stuff we've all heard.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
For years.
And so as a marketer, I read this and, you know, kind of the strategy part of my brain and the creative part of my brain and the visionary part of my brain all wants to believe this, right? And say, you bet, this is going to give me a perspective. But there's that other side that, you know, the wolf is at the door. I've got to deliver results for the business. And how do I do that in a real actionable way? So, you know, for me, as I read this, it was like, okay, I get it. But what I really want is something practical, something that's going to allow me to drive the business today and ideally use that data in ways that are not only going to help me achieve my objectives, my marketing objectives to kind of load and progress the funnel, but also to be able to demonstrate to the business that I have value, right? I deliver value to the business each and every day. And that felt like it was missing a bit from this discussion.
Well, it's interesting. You and I talk about this all the time. You, I, Mike, other folks in the company all talk about this regularly. We've all heard the story. I may have told it here on the show before, but we've all heard the story of, you know, times are tough, the business is a little soft or something. So the CEO walks into the head of sales office and says, I need you to cut your budget by 10%. Mm. And the head of sales says, well, sure, I can do that. But let's talk about what that means in terms of reduced, you know, revenue, reduced profitability, right? And so what then happens is the CEO walks into the head of marketing's office, you know, says to the head of sales, forget it, don't worry about it, walks into the head of marketing's office and says, I need you to cut your budget by 20%. Right?
Yes.
So it creates this reality of people have to see the result. And I think what you're getting at there is really key and also speaks to this problem that we have, that it's not just showing the result, it's actually making it work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is that data in action, right? How do you put the data in a place where it can actually help make the business run better? And we'll talk about this in a moment, but you know, how are you using your data and how are you using automation where you can put that data into some system where something's actually going to happen and something different is going to happen. And there's going to be kind of a sense and respond sort of capability, but that ultimately drives the data that drives the business, which is, you know, does a lead appear, right? Are we capturing enough data so that a marketing qualified lead, we can score the behavior in a way that, so that would be really interesting to me, that if in bringing all this data together, it meant that would happen. But that's what needs to happen. I think more and more is that the technologies have to be focused on taking the data and putting it to work in ways that actually make something happen at the end of the day.
Well, and I think that's such a key point. I really want to underscore this. You said something a moment ago that I think is so important and so necessary for people to hear again. You know, obviously, we have a vested interest in people not building their own analytics tools, right? I mean, sure. Given what we do for a living, right? Like, just being full disclosure. At the same time, you know, speaking as people who do this for a living and speaking legitimately in the best interest of people who are doing this, the point isn't to have the analytics. The point is to have the action. So if you're not going to build the automation from the analytics, if you're not going to build the things that take that analytics data and actually apply it in a way, then you're right back where we've started from all over again, which, great, you got a report, but what do you do with it? And how do you make that work for you? And I think that's, you know, such a great point that you kind of said a moment ago, but I just think people need to hear. It's you want to build your own analytics, go for it. That's great. But will it actually move the needle? Will it actually move the bar for you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And really, you know, data has to be fed into some machine that will do something. I think
Or people, but let's be fair, most people don't want to invest in the people either.
Yeah. I mean, we see that again and again, right? It is.
Right.
And especially because a lot of the things that data can do for you today are the things that you want to automate, right? You know, it's the things we should have been automating over the past decade, which is all the efficiency stuff, right? All the rote stuff that people aren't doing.
Right.
But what some of the tools that are on the shelf today, and especially as machine learning technologies have become more commoditized, right? You don't have to hire a data science and scientist anymore to build platform, because platform stuff is available on AWS, Google, Azure, pick your cloud provider
platform. Right.
So now you have the ability to have the technology and the data focused on effectiveness. And that's, I think, what moves the needle. Back to your comment earlier, it's if you have the data flowing into a technology that actually makes something happen, makes the experience different for the customer in the moment, then you've got some magic, because yes, you have a more efficient process, because a product owner doesn't have to decide what goes on his page, right? The data can determine what should go on the page. So that's some efficiency. But more importantly, it's the right data that goes on that page. And that's where
you get the effectiveness. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny. You said two things. We could branch this in one or two directions, but I'm going to take the last thing you said and then go there, and then we'll go back to the other. You know, you were talking about the right content and putting the right information. Mm-hmm. There's a great ebook that, again, we'll put in the show notes from our old friends at MarTech Advisor, who, you know, talked about all the various studies that they've rounded up where marketers, and I'm mostly quoting this, so I'm not trying to steal their words. I'm trying to quote them as best possible. Marketers find content creation difficult, content performance measurement challenging, and content attribution confusing. And all of these are reasons why MarTech Advisor sees value in facilitating important conversations around content marketing. And as they call it, it's more evolved avatar content experience, right? It's not just about, you know, do you know what content to create or things along those lines, but how do you create that content and put it in front of a customer at a really good time to make it effective?
And that's the thing that I think is so important these days. You know, I spend a lot of time talking and hopefully sometime listening to people every day. And, you know, especially marketing, digital marketing professionals. And, you know, the conversation, if you rewind maybe 2 years ago, was all about platform and personalization and, you know, kind of real baby steps, kind of the starting stuff. And now some of the more advanced folks are bringing in visitor ID technology. So they're using technologies like Demandbase and Clearbit. And
Sure.
So now I know, oh, well, it's Tim and he's in the software industry. And so I go to my content matrix and I look it up and he's supposed to get this. But one of the things that's really missing from that is a lot of the intention, right? Why is Tim here? And what is he really trying to achieve in the moment? And I suppose it's possible that some marketing content owners could go in and say, okay, here's the five scenarios that I see, and here's this, you know, five pieces of content that, you know, we should serve Tim and we'll just see which one he picks, right? And he's interested in product specs. So he must be in, you know, the consideration phase. And so we're going to go down that path. But the data, and one of the nice things I liked about this when they talked about content marketing goals in this piece, is they talked about, you know, it really should be an experiential approach. And what is the data telling you so that you can progress somebody further into the journey? And that really resonated for me because I've heard a dozen people say that in the past week, where they're talking about one of their biggest challenges is how do you progress folks deeper into the journey? Because when they start talking about their measurements and they start talking about their capabilities, you know, one of the frustrating things is, you know, do I have enough humans to model enough, you know, of those journeys so that I can get the right content for the right person? And so that really was one thing that resonated out of this article. And the other thing is, and I think I touched on it earlier, which really was this: automation is nascent, but mostly focused on efficiency. And where it really needs to go is focus on effectiveness. And again, there are platforms and tools available now where companies can do it on their own. Hashtag shameless plug. You know, that's where we've gone as well, right? Because we realize we have all this data that we're gathering from our clients. Right. And if you know, some of it you need NLP and text analytics to extract, you know, kind of topic from content. So you can use topic as a measure of intent or align it with some intent to provide a personalized experience. Or you can do unsupervised learning against, say, journey data to kind of get nuggets out of that about intent and content combinations that are effective. It's all those sorts of things that really, really talk about using the data to make the experience for the prospect or customer more effective in the moment. And mobilizing that data in an interesting way. So again, those were kind of two themes that really resonated for me. It's and I guess it also falls under this greater umbrella, which is, you know, starting with what are the expectations of the customer? What journey are they on? What intent do they have? And then using the data and the technology and the content to deliver an experience that helps them get to their goal or their task or whatever you call it as effectively as possible.
So that was the other avenue I said we could go down. You know, I said you gave two great ideas. And this idea of helping the customer at the moment, this is a little far afield from something we talk about generally, because we're usually talking about people's digital experience. But I thought this was really fascinating. that Walmart has basically introduced their version of the Amazon Go store, right? You know, they've got, they call it IRL.
Which, as if an Amazon or a Walmart store isn't IRL, but okay.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But for some reason, this one is more IRL or something like that. But I thought it was genuinely fascinating that, you know, they've really been focused on how do we use this data. A, I thought it was interesting that they're doing this as a separate brand, just from a, you know, let's test and see what works before we roll it into the regular Walmart experience. But I thought what the head of the IRL division at Walmart said, this guy Mike Hanrahan said, was you can't be overly enamored with the shiny object element of AI. There are a lot of shiny objects out there that are doing things we think are unrealistic to scale and probably long-term not beneficial for the customer. And it's really what you've been talking about, right? It's how do you take this data, how do you take this automation, how do you take this experience and make it beneficial for the customer? So let's be fair. So it's beneficial to the business too, but start with what are you doing for the customer? And I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one, everybody should go out and take a look at what they're doing, because what they're doing really making their operations more effective. And so there's an efficiency play there, certainly, because one of the examples I saw in the article was, you know, you don't have to have as many steaks, you know, in your meat counter, because, you know, you can monitor in real time, like kind of what's happening, what people are buying and get stuff. So that there's clearly an efficiency reduction of waste and all that other stuff going on. But it's also, you know, monitoring, you know, what is going on from a customer's perspective, to make you know, things more effective for them as well, because, you know, maybe you're wasting shelf space on product that doesn't sell. Now, having started my career in you know, stocking shelves in a grocery store, I also know there's going to be an interesting rub between the desire of vendors or product manufacturers and the desire of the retailer, because there's a reason, you know, Pepsi has 12 linear feet of shelf space and Coke only has 8, and that's because Pepsi paid more. Now, Walmart
happening. Yeah, right. I'm shocked to learn that there's gambling going on.
But but you know, Walmart is the 40,000-pound gorilla in the market, so they probably have the ability to kind of redefine that dynamic just because they are so powerful in the market. So I, you know, again, I think, but it is you know, a really interesting use at making both operations more effective and efficient, but more effective, and making the customer experience more effective. And, you know, so I almost put, you know, effective with the capital E and efficient with the lowercase e, right? Because I think efficiency right now, if you're not doing efficiency with your data, it's table stakes. You're not even behind. You're not playing the game. But I think they have done some really interesting stuff with making it more effective. And I think that Walmart's division head there, the IRL division heads, is right on target that, you know, it really has to be focused on, you know, what is beneficial to the customer. And, you know, when I think about some of the product work we've done, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at a requirements document, or there was a bunch of user stories. I'm old school, so I still call them requirements documents. But I was looking at a bunch of user stories the other day, and this was some work we're doing. It's really like alpha product. And, you know, I was reading it, and it made a lot of sense to me. But the one thing I noticed that was missing was, can we just start each section of this document with a more crisp definition of what is the benefit we're trying to derive from knowing these things, right?
Yeah.
And from putting this data to work, because you have to constantly come back to what is the benefit going to be to the consumer? And for us, sometimes it's not just our customer, but it's their customer. And how do we make sure that we're always focused on that? And I thought that was another key point, is that, you know, effectiveness really does start with that customer experience mindset, right? What is the customer experience? How is it going to be better? And how can we both monitor and test that the thing we thought was going to be better is actually going to be better? And part of the beauty of automation is sometimes the human doesn't have to monitor it. The machine can monitor it, right? The machine can know, oh, like it just can be constantly A-B testing itself. And that really is the benefit of some of these emerging technologies.
Well, you know, you raise an interesting point, and this is something we've talked about tons of times, you know, internally and with customers, you know, is this idea that one of the reasons personalization has always been oversold is because it depends on the user to do so much, right? You have to define the segments. You have to define the rules. You have to, you know, select which content is appropriate for various segments and various rule sets, right? Again and again and again. And go figure that either, you know, you don't have enough data to know the answers to those questions, so you can't make good predictions,
right?
Or I don't know if I said A or one, but so you know, Q.
No, I'm not listening to you, by the way, so I have no idea either. So.
Always a wise decision. But, you know, but B, in this case, it doesn't scale, right? It's, you know, even if you have a decent sense of it, it's very hard to execute. So if you automate it, you're really just cutting all that down and making it, you know, doable, yes. Right?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned that scale. It was when we started the beta of Guidebox a couple months ago, and I saw some of the data. It's content recommendation, as you well know, but our listeners don't. So it's content recommendation. And what was really interesting is, you know, the first time we ran it and we were actually looking at the user experience and clicking on pages and seeing the content recommendations come back. It was really interesting. On one of these high level pages, it was like there was this aha moment we had it. The client had it, where it was like, "Wow, those recommendations are spot on because they described, you know, a significant use case where there wasn't content on the page. I guess there wasn't obvious content on the page, right? That somebody would have selected, and so the recommendations were, you know, brilliant. But this was on a top level page where, you know what, it might actually be worth your while." To have a human see the data and have the human handcraft those recommendations. Having the data do it is easier, but you know, you might on one of these top level pages expend the effort. But what was really powerful was, you know, as you got now 3 clicks from the homepage, 4 clicks from the homepage, now you're beginning to get recommendations that have a little more insight, a little more meaningful, and you'd never expend the time or effort down that low in the product pages to do content recommendation.
Right. Well, there's just too many of them. There's just too, you know,
enough hours in the day.
Even if you wanted to. Right. Exactly. There's just too many branches that people have to go down. I mean, when we think about most of our customers, when we think about most people who are doing this, you know, you don't need personalization if your website or your app or something like that has 4 pages.
Right.
Right. There's just not a lot of things you can possibly recommend to them. You know, this becomes an issue for sites with any kind of scale. You know, you get into the thousands of pages or as we've seen, millions of pages. And so you simply cannot find, you know, enough hours in the day or enough people or things along those lines to put that content in front of people at each step of the way. Yeah. So, no, that's a really, really, really good point. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. This is not going to be my most elegant segue either. But there was a fun article that we got to talking about a little bit that you know, looks at how a company that does this really well does something different and why it's more interesting than just what they announced. And this is all about Google and the introduction of their Stadia gaming platform. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to try to make this a vaguely elegant transition after saying this is not my most elegant ever. But, you know, I think it's interesting because from a certain perspective, you know, if you squint and tilt your head funny or you start to think about the longer term implications of this, you know, it starts to get at what is the customer experience overall and, you know, how is this a change in the way customers interact with content, with the online experience, et cetera, you know, as they move from traditional media to games and things like that. And you had a really interesting perspective on this that I'd love to talk about for just a second.
Well, one, this, you know, I hate to seem older for a moment, but the whole, You know, when I think about online gaming, I think about Xbox, right? I think about playing with your pals. Yeah. And I mean, it really is a totally different landscape these days. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I was in a another startup's office yesterday, and the number of people who had two screens and one of the screens was streaming a game or some other live stream that was going on was astounding to me. And by the way, I am also one of those people who I work best when part of my brain is distracted. So whether it's music or something else going on in the background, so I totally get it. But but it was amazing how big this industry has become, how fast. And I haven't seen the data on it, but I am going to imagine it was one of these hockey sticks that would probably put the adoption of mobile devices to shame, right? It just has come out of nowhere and become huge. And the thing about, you know, what they're doing there, you know, back to the data question, right? I mean, everything Google does is about data. You know, Google doesn't do translation because it wants to give you better translation. It gives you translation because it wants to get better at translation. And they pointed to something in this article. They talked about one of Google's voice services, and it wasn't because they wanted to help you find out better what was going on or how to connect with your councilman or whatever. They did it to collect voice data so that they could get better at recognizing parts of speech and whatnot in voice. So everything Google does is about data. And, you know, while there is probably a great business to be made out of Stadia, I mean, what it does also is gives them great data to, you know, kind of put back into the machine to make a better personalized experience, to get at what's important to people like you, and they can define like you very, very granularly. And so, you know, that was, you know, again, it's always about the data, but it's more importantly, it's about how do you take that data and put that data to work in some interesting way. But, and this was just another, I think another kind of interesting example of, you know, how there are lots of opportunities in our business to gather data. And sometimes, you know, you have to do those experiments. I mean, I don't think Google ever said, gee, there's this emerging trend in, you know, online gaming that we want to become a player in. They said, oh, there's this emerging opportunity for us to get lots of interesting data because it'll help us be more effective as a business. And so are there those real opportunities for you to kind of think about your business model and think about the experiences that you're delivering to your customers that might actually help you get better data to make your core business more effective? And I don't think it'll be as, I don't think most companies have an investment environment that's as tolerant as if, you know, I came back to our board and said, we're going to get into online gaming because I think we can do better, you know, content recommendation to B2B large enterprise. I don't think anybody's going to buy that. And quite frankly, I don't think there's an opportunity. So you got to be in an adjacent swim lane, but you know, it is very interesting how everything is about the data, but it's about the data being put to work to make your core business model more effective. And, you know, that's, I think, the theme today, right? How do you make your business more effective by putting that data to work?
I think that's a really great point. By the way, I was going to make the comment that, you know, Google's doing that thing that Wayne Gretzky always talked about not skating to where the puck is, but skating to where it's going.
Oh, sure.
And actually, you know, I feel bad. I play games a bit. I'm not a big time gamer. You definitely play games more than I do. But this is not where the puck has been. This actually is where the puck is. As well as going, I just pulled up a piece of data that we'll put in the show notes. Gross video game sales have outweighed box office receipts, Hollywood box office receipts, for over two decades.
Wow.
Video games industry has earned more revenue from the movie and music industries combined every year for the past 8 years.
Yeah, that's pretty so striking.
Now, I mean, obviously, you know, you think about the unit cost of a video game versus a movie ticket versus a downloading music or streaming something, you know, paying a monthly Spotify subscription or something like that. But clearly, that's not a coming thing. That's a thing that is clearly now
a thing.
Yeah. But notice what they're doing to precisely to your point, and I think this is exactly right, is they're saying this is a huge and incredibly important source of data, so why aren't we taking advantage of it?
You betcha.
Well, Steve, That is great stuff. We are running out of time for this week. But before we wrap up, you know, any parting words you want to share with our friends out there?
Yeah, well, they will definitely not be words of wisdom that I could, you know, I do think the theme today was putting the data to work. And, you know, part of the place that a lot of people are focused right now is how do you improve the customer experience? And that really then, you know, kind of you peel that back one layer and it's really how do you make the customer experience more personalized? And that really is, I think, where a lot of our attention is going to be focused. Ours as a profession, I guess, is going to be focused in the near term is what are the ways we can take the data we have and more effectively use it in the moment to deliver on the customer experience and make it more effective. And so whether you're Walmart trying to do that, whether you're Google trying to make your search more effective, or whether you're some B2B large enterprise company who has a bounce rate of, you know, 70% on average, right? How do you make that moment when they first land and they say, I want to do business with you, more effective to get, you know, further down the funnel? And you likely have data to help you do that. And so now the question is, how do you put that data to work so that it actually happens, that people actually progress beyond the bounce? And, you know, that's, I think, what has to be top of mind as marketers think about their data initiatives. And I think as marketers think about what vendors they do business with, can those vendors actually demonstrate that they're using data to progress a more effective customer experience?
Words to live by, Steve, as ever. Well, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
You betcha. Take care.
Take care now. Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter, and learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.